Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're here today. Joining me in the studio, Dr. Alice Benton. Hey, Alice, how are you?
Hi, Steve. Well, I told you earlier I'm chipper, and I really am. I'm such a nerd, but I'm feeling chipper, so I was thinking about why. And my son came down early this morning and joined me. We were exercising together. And I was thinking about how much, not this morning, but as you and I were talking today, I was thinking about how much New Life has taught me of how to model and how to engage with my kids. And parenting is delightful for me. We had our parenting weekend recently, our workshop, and we got to teach parents how to approach parenting without fear, because we can be so equipped to handle all the highs and lows of family life.
Well, we really are kind of afraid anyway, but we help you do it afraid and not let the fear prevent you from doing the right thing and the best thing. And of course, as I mentioned to you before we started, you just got some great feedback on the material that you presented, which is out of the book that will be coming out shortly, Understanding and Loving Your Child in a Screen-Saturated World. And boy, if there's ever anything we need to understand, it is this. If you'd like to join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. I want to mention something. We don't mention it often enough, but for every man that goes through every man's battle, there usually are at least two women who have been impacted by the lack of sexual integrity. Wife, girlfriend, mother, sister, someone. And if you have been, if your life has been made worse by a man that has struggled with sexual integrity, we have the Restore Workshop coming up. And you could go to that for $200 less if you'll sign up between now and October the 22nd. Now, one of the things that happens when people go is that they realize they're not alone, that this isn't something to be ashamed of, that what they've been through is quite common. Other women have experienced it, and other women have found amazing recovery, restoration, and healing. And that's what we want for every person, whatever you've been through. But this workshop, it's done by Shelley Martinkus, who is the wife of Jason Martinkus. Jason, of course, does Every Man's Battle. And he struggled, and they struggled together. And she presents a very realistic way of moving forward, where trust can be rebuilt and faith in God restored. And whether or not the relationship can be restored, you can be restored. Now, if you have wondered, do I have to feel this way for the rest of my life? The answer is yes, unless you do something to change, and this is the best thing I know that you could do. And it's in the weekend that we're doing it is in Washington, D.C., November 12, 13, and 14. It's the restoration that you've been looking for, and it's called Restore. You call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, you get $200 off.
Steve, I was talking to an attendee recently, and she told me, I never felt like I belonged with anyone until I got into a group at a New Life weekend and stayed in contact with them. And I felt like that was where family was first built in my life.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, that's what we hear. So, struggle alone or come to this and find a whole group of other women who've been where you've been or are where you are, and you'll never be the same. That's our promise to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to join us here right now, 1-800-229-3000. 1000. And when we come back, I'm going to go, who is this that's on the line right there from Alexandria, Virginia? We'll go to Lydia when we come back. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Chris William has joined us. Chris, great to see you.
Great to be here.
Glad you could work us into your schedule today. All right, let's go to Lydia and see what's going on in her life. Hi, Lydia. Welcome to New Life. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for taking my phone call.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling us.
Okay. I have a question. Is how to help my friend, who's a 60-year-old mother, move forward after she's recently been refused by her son to have any contact with her son. That happened recently, and her son is at his 30s. And
why does she think the son doesn't want her to have any contact at all?
She said because way back when the children, she has another two daughters, when they were young, and her husband was abusive and was unfaithful to her.
Uh-huh.
And under all these situations, she took it on the children and beat them. So now the son can't, somehow at his 30s start to distance himself, and now even, disconnect, cut all
okay.
the
And has she tried to, has she her. Tried to make up for that, or?
Yeah, she tried to, she's a very good cook, so she tried to provide food and have her daughter to, send it to the son, and the son just say, tell mom, don't give me any more food.
Well, has she ever said, I was wrong, I'm so hoping you could forgive me, I did exactly what you said, I was unkind, and...
She told me she's a Catholic, and
uh-huh.
so she went to the church and confessed to the father,
mm-hmm.
and then the father told her to write her son a letter,
mm-hmm.
to apologize.
Yeah,
and this is something it's in the process right now.
Oh, well, I would. Think that would be something that she'd want to go ahead and complete that, and
yes,
maybe not even wait to write it, but to call whatever. It makes sense to me that if that's what happened, that he would not want to be around his mother, who has decided, I'm going to cook for this boy to make up for it, rather than ask for forgiveness or to even admit, yes, it's true what you say. But your question is, how can we help her deal with the rejection? But I think what we really need to help her with is, how do people restore relationships when there is a very valid complaint on the part of one. Chris, you want to get us started on this?
Yeah, so Lydia, having something good to eat doesn't take away the pain of abuse. So we just want to make sure that those gestures will actually do exactly what they did, and they will backfire. But what she is doing with writing a letter is really important. What she needs to do on her end is own up to and acknowledge the hurt and the pain that she caused without excuse. without any disclaimers in that whatsoever, and then be able to open the door to say, I would love to hear from you. I would love to be able to work through this with you when you're ready to do that. And Alice, you're really good at framing like these apologies, these amends that we make.
I think you're doing a fine job right there. Lydia, your friend bypassed his heart and went for his stomach. And her intentions are good, but it's his heart and soul that have been starving for safety and for reconciliation. And so advising your friend to get into structured help, into therapy, and if she already is, to keep going and to dig deeper, because she has not been able to understand her son's deep pain and know how to truly help him with it. She's been missing the mark. And so giving her that encouragement and giving her our number here at New Life, because we have a network of counselors and we connect her with a good counselor who can help her to learn how to make the reconciliation attempt better and deeper, more profound.
And I think in addition to that, Alice, is that connecting with a therapist also helps her work through her pain in the abuse that she experienced as well. So one of the best things that she could do is, again, work through her recovery.
Yeah, and I think also the important thing that you said there is that she needs to do it without saying this is why I did this, because it isn't why she did it. She had a lot of choices in the way she handled the abuse from her husband, and she picked a really, really crummy one. So there is no excuse. There is no explanation other than I failed you as a mother. And I need, or I want you to forgive me, but more than anything, I want to know, what did that do to you? What was that like? How did you feel then, and what are you feeling now?
And even though he is refusing to talk with her, that doesn't mean that she doesn't have power to be able to improve the situation. Because if she makes the attempt and then she continues to do work on herself so that if and when her son ever does open that door back up, he will find a different mother who is more understanding and more humble about the harm she caused.
Yeah. So I'm going to send you a copy of Dave Stoop's book, Forgiving What You'll Never Forget. And that you can give to her, and it would give her some insight into what this son is going to have to work through to get to that place of forgiveness. And the main point here is it's not going to be instant, and it's not going to be easy either. So I hope that'll help.
And you know, Steve, this is reminds me so much of the many, many different invaluable skills that we learn in the 12-step process.
Yeah.
The ability to make an amend and the ability to amend our wrongs over and over and over again, which eventually, where in those of us who struggle with addiction, become dangerous people and transform into safe people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And it's a great, great, wonderful process of transformation. It's all based on the Bible. I'll send a Life Recovery Bible along also. All right, 1-800-229-3000. Joy, how are you today, and how could we help you?
Hi, yes.
Hi.
Are you all there?
We are right here.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call. Well, I am, along with my husband right now, we are walking our 19-year-old daughter through a chapter of her life, and she informed us, which we had kind of had conversations about the fact that she was feeling as she was bisexual. You know, she has, I do believe she's a born-again believer. She has been baptized. She was very instrumental in church. She's in her second year of college, which, you know, worried me from the get-go. But anyway, you know, we just... she came Tuesday and told us that she was dating a really sweet girl and that she was fun to be around. And thank goodness I have some people in my life that speak lots of good wisdom. And I was that person that was like, quick, I need a great response. And you know, it was just as simple as, you know, don't respond in a negative way. You know, it was just like getting to know a friend, asking questions, keeping the conversation open. So I just, you know, I know that God wants healthy. I've listened to you guys enough, and actually I listened on Friday. I believe a female had called in, and her daughter that was 25 had kind of was in the same position, and, you know, you guys gave us lots of good advice. And so I guess for personal, knowing that I know there's other parents out there going through the same thing, is, right. You know, what is the next step?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it is. It's always the same answer, but I think there are some tributaries from that answer that maybe Alice and that Alice. I know Alice and I've had discussions about this, and I think Chris has got great insight into this. So, I'll start with this. Of course, it is the same answer. You must choose to love this child unconditionally while not approving of the choices. And we don't have to remind the kids that we don't approve of the choices. From there, there come some tributaries that I think are important for us to have an awareness of, that there might be a time to interject them if ever asked, but most likely not. But one of the things I was just talking to my wife about is when people don't acknowledge and act on all parts of who they are. If you're acting on physical or physiological reaction, like an arousal, or an emotion like attraction. This is how I feel. If it's all about the physical and the feeling, you're missing out on the fact that we are spiritual also, and we are intellectual also. We can make intellectual choices. Now, that is not a kind of a hidden way of saying that these kinds of things are a choice. Attraction happens for a lot of reasons. And in this day and age, a child is exposed to so many things that they can become attracted to something, have an arousal to something because they were attracted to it and sexualized very early on, and they think that attraction is always associated with identity or personhood. And it's not. It is absolutely not. Just, well, with that, I'm going to, that's my 2 cents. It's more like 5 cents. But Chris, Alice, how do we help her to have insight and wisdom as she loves her and realizes there are no magic words, there's nothing that is going to be said that's going to turn this around?
Your initial reaction of just gentle curiosity must have taken some superhuman strength to do that in that moment when this is probably devastating for you. But that's a good first step. And so the second step, I think there is room for one reminder. I think there's room for a statement of, I love you and I will always love you through this. I am sad. I am disappointed. You know, this is not in alignment with our beliefs as Christians. One brief statement, I think, is good. And then in a separate conversation later on, you might wonder with her, knowing that you've been such a strong believer and participating so much in the church, I wonder how you're doing about this, having your girlfriend, and being in relationship with God. How is that for you? You have to be so cautious about your tone, because if it's asked in an attacking, critical way, it won't get anywhere. But if it's asked in another, like you did at first, warm, curious way, there might be some good conversation that comes from that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we always want to help a person move towards their spiritual center in Christ. And, you know, and keeping the conversation open and keeping it alive. And but as was said, you don't have to sacrifice your honesty to be able to do that.
Yeah. We'll have a couple more comments about this when we come back. 1-800-229-3000. It's tough. And we pray for all those that struggle. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Chris, you were going to respond here and help Joy with her 19-year-old daughter who is dating girls.
You know, I chuckle because I think we're all looking for the ideal relationship and it doesn't exist. Relationship's going to be hard regardless, and it's going to take a ton of work, and there is no easy way out. Yet, I think a lot of times what we don't do, and so I'm going to take a little bit different tact with Joy, with you and your daughter, is that we're making relational decisions based on the moment, not thinking about the future. And that's kind of how we get overtaken by these strong feelings of attraction and romance and all the wonderful things that come along with that. But I think you should ask your daughter this question. When you picture yourself in your late 30s, what do you picture? What do you imagine? What kind of life would you like being able to have and live? So relationship is really about creativity, meaning that we're going to create a life together. And though what we imagine and picture our heads never comes to fruition exactly how it is in our heads, but I'm telling you, what we imagine does play itself out in one form or another. But if we're not imagining it, then something is happening to us and we're reactive to it, instead of proactive towards building the life that we would like to have. Either way, it's going to be work. It doesn't matter. And so I'm wondering if you just process that with your daughter about, like, what would your future look like?
Right.
And what would you like it to look like? And again, either way, it's going to be work.
That's good.
Yeah.
One of the things that we say around here is that no one thing changes everything, but one thing can destroy everything if it isn't treated properly. I wish you the best in just loving your child, and I'm hoping and praying that something we've said has made some kind of difference for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I listen to you guys, and on Friday, I can't remember, one of the ladies made this statement about, you know, stop trying to fix them and just walk with them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's not easy, but you can do it. And I just want to encourage you. It's not easy, but you really can do it. Okay, I'm going to send you a Restoration Bible. I hope that that's going to be a blessing to you. I hope it'll help you in your devotional life, and I wish we had different answers, but we simply have those. That's all we have, and just I hope and pray that something we've said is helpful to you and to other folks. Let's go over here and talk to Bianca, calling from Oxnard, California. The city I was driving to when I wrecked my car. All right, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing all right. What's going on with you?
Yeah, so I have a brother. He's 19 years old, but he's about to be 20 next month. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty depressed because, like, he's in his room, like, pretty much all day. And he plays his video games a lot. Like, I think he's kind of like addicted to them, and I just have a question: how can I help him if he doesn't want to receive help? Like, he gets offended when we tell him, hey, like, do you want to see somebody to talk to? And he just gets offensive. And how can I help him to get out of that funk that he's in?
Hey, Bianca, does he smoke pot?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't smoke weed.
Any other substances?
No, not that we know of. We don't know.
How long does he spend on his video games?
I would say, honestly, for hours.
Like 2 hours or like 6 hours? 8 hours?
I would say, honestly, probably 6 to 8 hours.
Okay. So he has a job. His job is actually his addiction, but he has a job. So how is he paying for everything?
No, he's not. He's living for free here at my house. And my mom, she doesn't want to, come.
Yeah, can I move in and play? can I have that job? Yeah, so it really sounds like, I think there's a lot obviously going on underneath the surface for your brother that he is avoiding, that he's not addressing. And it could be something really painful. I don't know. It could be obviously, yeah. I think you're right on with depression. But he's adapted his life around that with his isolation mm-hmm. and video gaming. And you're right. That is a very dangerous place for a person to be in. And it may not seem dangerous to other people, but it's definitely dangerous to himself. But this, it really sounds like the same pattern if we were to address an addiction. So he may need to approach this as an addiction, meaning that he might have to suffer some of the consequences of his choices that he is making right now. And certain things may need to be addressed as far as that in responsibility. And if he's unwilling to, consequences, and that squeezes him hopefully into action to do something about it. And there's a balance there between consequences and offering help.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear the music, so we're going to get to that right after the break.
You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. Chris Williams, Dr. Alice Benton. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life Member Thank You Gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life Grocery Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits, like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And Chris, you had some final comments there you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. And well, the first thing, Bianca, I'm so glad that you called in. I'm so glad that your brother has a sister like you. That sees the problem, that addresses the problem. It also sounds like your mom may be stuck as well in enabling this behavior, in supporting this behavior that is actually harmful to your brother. So,
did you say may be stuck or is?
Is, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification, Steve, because it really is. This pattern, he will not just grow out of this. Because there's no growth here. Mm-hmm. It's all heading yeah. downhill. So you're seeing all of that. And so you want to be able to raise the flags and be honest. Honest with your brother, honest with your mother. But even helping it maybe your mom see what this is doing to your brother, this situation, and how she's contributing to it. But then maybe even having her listening to this show, what she can do about it. And Alice, you're really good at here's now what you do in this dangerous situation.
Well, Bianca, it's probably your mom who needs the most information because she is the authority in this situation. Perhaps your father's in the picture as well. But screens need to be seen as a privilege to be earned and not as a right. Currently, your brother has the right to play as much as he wants for as long as he wants without requirements and without expectations. That's what it sounds like on the surface. And changing that into earning that privilege by attending therapy, by doing work around the house, by getting into college. That's the healthy version of accessing screens. But right now, they're running his life. And he'll probably need your parents' intervention for that to end.
Yep. And
yeah, well, it's just me and my mom.
Yeah, you and your mom. So I would kind of be curious as to... Mom, did anything ever happen where you feel so guilty about it that you don't want to hurt him or, like, you don't want him to be uncomfortable anymore because you're kind of paralyzed because you feel bad about something? Or do you think maybe because it's just you and me that you'll let him do anything just to keep a male in the house? Could that be why he's allowed to just do this hour after hour? Or, Mom, do you think he's not capable of a job or responsibility? What is it that is driving this?
I think she's just scared of the reaction that he's going to take from the like the questions we ask him and all that. Because he does get angry and he like, tends to say, get out. And he takes authoritative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, so what you want is you want to say things that make sense, that bring about that reaction so that you can deal with the reaction. You were very disrespectful, angry, you threw this. And so if you want to stay in this home, we will now be getting some family therapy together unless you'd like to move out. Now, that doesn't mean she has to throw him out on the street. Driveway is far enough. Put his stuff on the driveway, and then he'll be safe. He won't get hit by traffic. But really, for her to continue to let a 19-year-old have no responsibility and access to screens all the time, it is literally destroying his life.
And she may not be strong enough to do what we're advising, and she probably needs some CODA support, some Codependency Anonymous support because of Al-Anon, because she's basically feeding his addiction. It's as if she's bringing alcohol and supplying it to him all day, and he can drink as much as he wants, but she's doing it through the internet access and the electricity. Yeah. So advising your mom to go to an Al-Anon group so that she can garner the strength to be able to take these necessary steps, because I think you might have the strength, Bianca, but we need your mom on board too.
All right. Glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of our two books on Understanding and Loving a Child Who Smokes Pot and Understanding and Loving a Child with ADHD. Both of those have principles and concepts in there that will actually, if your mom will read them, will help her understand this in a new and different way. Before we go to the next caller, Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. Larry, what do you have for us today?
Steve, I have a little different testimony. This is one really for you and Chris and Alice, I think, about what this program does for somebody. I'm 62 years old, and I literally praise the Lord for Club New Life, and you, Steve, especially.
And take your time, Larry.
And each counselor and each supporter in any way. I have needed Club New Life, and I've listened, supported, and made time to do the things that you tell us to do on the radio, and it's changed me. Your program has helped me understand what a true gift life is, how much I need the Lord every day, actually every second of the day, and that I'm human and normal with the things I struggle with, that there truly is hope and help in difficult places. I've been cruel to myself at times because of my past mistakes and struggle with insecurity, low self-esteem, jealousy, lack of joy, etc. Every day I work on these and I'm truly changing. I'm growing daily in my walk with the Lord. I desire to please the Lord and help others. Your program has changed me to desire to do to this. I recommend New Life to so many hurting people. Thank you. Thank you from my heart for Club New Life. It's my honor and joy to support it, not only financially, but in prayer always.
Boy, that's wonderful.
Isn't that
is
something?
Wonderful. Yeah.
You know, you don't have any idea who you're touching and who you're speaking to when you're on the radio every day. You just spoke to a lady about the gaming and her brother, but how many other people heard the same thing?
Yeah.
And it touched them.
And it's so, so hard to raise a child in this day and age. There are just so many things that happen, and you need all the help you can get. We want to help you with that. And so often, the biggest help we can do is to help a marriage be better so that you can better parent together, coming off the same script there. So,
Steve, I want to point out that she was grateful for Club New Life.
Yeah.
A couple things. One, Club New Life videos. If you're a member of Club New Life, we have videos available to you. And Lisa told me this morning there's one that's coming out that Alice did recently on your dealing with your older parents.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the title. I didn't bring it in with me.
I think it was called Dealing with Your Older Parents. I'm not sure, but I think that was it.
But I just want to encourage people. We have some great stuff for you. And if you join Club New Life, it's only $30 a month. And that's not unattainable for most of you. So I would ask you to look at that. And if you haven't joined Club New Life, we're doing a gathering for Club New Life online, Zoom, in November, the first Saturday in November. And it's a reason to sign up because we're going to have some good stuff and we're going to have fun.
Yep.
And just please consider joining Club New Life.
Right. And, you know, we don't try to pressure people to give. We don't tell you, you know, if you don't give and you listen and you benefit, that something horrible is going to happen to you. We don't do that, but I would be careful driving today. But we love you and we care about you and we want you to be part of our giving family. And please do. And then everything we do here, well, you're part of it. And when you hear somebody experiencing a major transformation, you were part of that. The number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the phone number to call if you need some help. We sure do want to help you. Anything else, Larry?
Well, can I just say what we're going to do on that Club New Life thing? I want to encourage people. You and Jill are going to do a walk down memory lane because you guys have been doing radio for a long time.
33 years. No, not we haven't done radio that long, but New Life. I just was told that I have now logged in my 33rd year here at New Life. So it's going to work out, I think, after all that time.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing. You're going to share a partnership we're working on, and it's going to be really something if this thing comes together. I think
coolest
it's going
thing
to.
I think we've ever been involved with. I think it has the potential to change the world is what we're all talking about. So can't wait to share that.
We have a new chief operating officer in Texas this year, and he's making the difference. And he's with staff and with systems, and he's going to share some of that. I'm going to share just the evidence of God's hand in New Life, especially financially. And we're going to hear some, you'll get to ask questions of us. We're going to have some fun with some videos and memes in between talks. And we just would love for you to be a part of that. But you got to be a part of Club New Life to get the invitation. So join us.
Join Club New Life by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And you get so many wonderful things is our way of saying thank you. It's a whole packet that we put into a shopping bag to help you experience God personally in your devotional life, your prayer life. It really does make a difference. So you can find out about that on newlife.com or just by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. When we come back, our final segment is right up here, and so stay tuned, please. In the meantime, really, back to that Restore workshop. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, $200 off if you sign up now.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Let's talk with Helen, Portland, Oregon. Hi, Helen. How are you today? Helen?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. Hi,
good.
Can you
how
hear
can we
me?
Help?
Sorry.
Yeah, we sure can. How could we help?
Yeah, I apologize. I had it mute. Okay, so
like I explained to her, I've been married for 6 years. This is my second marriage.
Okay.
We have a 3-year-old together. And I guess I'm fighting with, I know it's the right thing to go, but obviously I didn't leave the guy because I didn't love him.
It's the right thing to go, but you didn't leave him because you don't love him. What's happened here?
So I guess, you know. Well, we've been married about 6 years, going on 7 years next year. When I first met my husband, and the funny part is I knew him when we were kids. Like, we kind of grew up in the same, like, complex, apartment complex.
Yeah, okay.
And his little brother.
Okay.
Know.
But what about what's going on in your marriage today?
Well, he's abusive.
Did he hit you?
And of course, this is my first, yes. Well, he's put his hands on me.
And did you call the police?
In the first time, I did not. Because I actually had tried to leave him a year before.
Uh-huh.
Because of this situation. I basically drove from Florida all the way to Oregon.
Wow.
Because everybody is, all my family members are in the West Coast, and his family is in the East Coast. But of course, you know, we had to talk because of the courts, and I didn't have any proof or anything of some sort other than my word. And we talked about it. We said, okay, we're going to start going to counseling, and we did start going to counseling. And then, of course, I got, you know, of course, back into being with him. We were going to sell our, you know, we sell a house, start anew, new friends, new everything. But, of course, not even 3 months into it, and you know, I forgave, I guess you can say forgive, but I haven't forgotten. And when I came back to him, I made sure I put boundaries on myself, meaning that if he even came towards me or put any type of threat of, you know, putting his hands on me, I would call the cops. So basically, the day before Father's Day, that's what happened. He,
yeah,
you know, came towards me and called the cops, and he got taken away.
Okay, so now I don't have a lot of time because this is our last segment.
Right.
So tell me how we could help you today. You have an abusive husband. Is he still in Florida and you're in Oregon?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the question for us then? Okay, and you have a 3-year-old. So what's the question?
With me, yes.
Yeah.
I keep going back and forth to saying, okay, I know I'm doing the right thing, but again, I love the guy. And there is, you know, I keep thinking back on the good stuff.
Wait, hold on. What do you love about him?
And I guess maybe that's the hard part. It's the fact that he is, I guess he is a nice guy. Like when
no, he's not a nice guy. Because nice guys, once they hit their wife that they love, they sink to the floor, realizing they've crossed a line that very few people ever cross, and it's a shameful line. And they say to their wife, yeah, I am such a nice guy, and I did something so horrific. I'm going to go get help. We aren't going to get help.
Right.
I'm going to get help because we don't have a problem. I have a problem. See, and that was that you fed into that we getting help versus he getting help. And
he
so
help.
All
right.
That you would do is go back to him in a moment of weakness and denial, not strength and reality.
Right.
Chris, what are you thinking there?
I'm just thinking, Helen, what guy hurt you when you were growing up?
No, and that's the weird part. Okay, I guess I can say, like, I knew his family dynamics.
Okay, hold on, because I'm so sorry to do this, Helen, because we don't
what
have
should she
we
do?
Have time
what should
that.
She
so,
do?
What Helen,
should she
on
do?
The inside, you feel that it's fast and it's furious and it's chaotic, and your mind gets tossed to and fro in any given situation. You're fighting with yourself way more than you're fighting with your husband. So you need to get into therapy that addresses the pain and the confusion that you're feeling on the inside so that you can resolve it. Because there's one person you're not respecting in this situation, and it's yourself.
Right. Which
right? Because you're starting to justify, as Steve was saying, oh, well, he's nice, or well, he's this, or well, he's... And so you're denying your own experience. And so therefore, that's a self-worth issue. And once you get solid on yourself, and once you get clear on yourself, then your decisions become more clear and they become more solid.
And Helen, we can understand your drawback to him, because when you're lonely and when you're overwhelmed and you're being a single mom to your little boy, of course you recall all the good things about your husband, and he's not an all bad guy. There are good things about the man. There are reasons you've fallen in love with him and still are. But he has not proven himself to be a safe man. And so my recommendation to you is getting a couple of girls, a couple of sisters in your life, not necessarily biological, spiritual sisters in your life, so that when you're lonely and you're only remembering the good and you're drawn back to him again, that you would turn to your women and that they would help you put the brakes on until, if ever, you start to see real evidence of change in him. He hasn't done enough. He hasn't done nearly enough yet.
You've done
to
nothing.
Become a safe man.
Now, let me mention this to you.
Right.
There are people in organized crime that they kill people, they pump drugs into the inner city, they addict people, people that buy the drugs that can't afford, they kill them. And they go home and they have a family, and they're very nice to their family. Now, if I was one of those people, would you say I was a nice guy because I was nice to my family if I'm killing other people? I don't think so. I think you'd say, I'm a pretty crummy guy right now, but I still can do some nice things. Your husband has done some nice things, but in the big headline, the big feature story of his life, he's unwilling to do anything to get better for you and his 3-year-old daughter. Now, that's what you ought to be talking to him about. If he talks to you on the phone, you should say to him, I just woke up today to the reality that although you have done nice things, and although you say you love me and you want a second chance, when I look at it, you haven't done anything to change for the sake of me or our 3-year-old daughter. You're not in a group. You're not in really intensive therapy. And it would take intensive therapy for you to change. What you say from now on really doesn't mean anything now that I see the reality of what we got here. You're not willing to do anything but beg me to come back or tell me you love me. Let's see what you can do. That's the kind of stuff. When you say that, you will feel so good about yourself, you won't be confused about what direction to go. But when you get on the phone with him and you're lonely and isolated, it's been a rough day, and he senses that and he tells you all the stuff that he knows fills up your bucket, then you're weak and you think, I really love this guy. This guy, one day, could be someone to love. But if you go back to him, right now, you're saying to him, I endorse everything that you're doing and what you're not doing, and you don't want to do that. Help him get better by telling him, go get help for our 3-year-old daughter, if not for me. Go get help. And if any of you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.